Good morning. So far today, what we've talked about is so relevant to what we're talking about today in Acts. Well, that's a good thing. That's probably why God does that. He puts it all together. I have a verse or a couple of verses that I want to read to you that has nothing to do with today, but they struck me and I have to read them. Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Wow. When Jesus wrote that, he knew we were going to need it. Because look around you. It hasn't changed. The society in the world is a mess. It always has been. Go back to Cain and Abel. We're greedy and we can't get away from it. Satan's here. But Jesus has overcome the world. Wow, what a promise. What a great thing to do. In Acts 18, excuse me, we are just following Paul's journeys and who he runs across and who he comes across and what he comes across with so many different people, so many different problems that he runs into, but they're never a problem. Not for Paul. You wonder why. Why doesn't Paul consider these things, I just can't handle this anymore? Because he knows who's in control. He knows who's in control. 1 through 22, and we'll start with verse 1 and 2. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, and a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla because Claudius had ordered all the Jews out of Rome. Why did Claudius expel the Jews from Rome? Now, I dug into this and I really couldn't find any really great answer to it. But just common sense for me, and I wrote it in here, if you, as the emperor, are constantly confronted by the Jews that are constantly fighting among themselves about Christ versus the Jewish law, you finally reach the point where you just say, enough. The easy remedy is to just get them all out. If they're a problem, get rid of them. Tell them to leave. I don't want to be messing with you people anymore. This is your concern, not mine. It's not my people's concern. It's your concern. So take your concern somewhere else. Wow. Was he a good ruler or what? I think he was. He wasn't a believer, but he was a good ruler. He didn't want people to be bothered with all that confusion that the Jews were bringing to them. I put an insight in here. We need to know God's word. The story about Jesus, the gospel. In Rome, the mission field was great. Rome was one of the greatest cities, I mean countries and places in the world to be. It was the hot spot. But the people needed to hear the truth. But due to differences among the law-following Jews and Paul and the Christian converts, they all were told to leave, and that was tragic. How are the people going to hear if they don't tell them? And they were more concerned about, let's live by the law. No, Jesus already took care of that. And Scripture shows that. If you go back into the Jewish synagogues through the years, the Scriptures were telling the them, there is a Savior coming. And this is how it's going to happen. And it happened exactly like the scripture that the Jews taught in their synagogue. That's exactly how it happened. Why didn't they believe? Jesus showed up on the scene and he told them he was that person. And one thing that Paul remarkably does well is he's got the ability to look to these people that feel that way and say, you know what? You put him on a cross. You didn't believe him. You put him on a cross. But that cross fulfilled the purpose. And it fulfilled the plan, the reason he came. And you're blinded to it. He ridicules them over and over and over about that very fact. So when we talk about the story of Christ, there's a lot of important things. Paul tells that story well. He goes back to the beginning that Abraham was given a promise. I mean, he goes right through the history of what Jesus was all about. And when he does that, they can't deny what he's saying because it's in their scriptures. They can't deny it, but do they believe it? Because they go to the synagogue. Paul must have loved it in the synagogue because he spent so much time there. But they needed to hear the truth. We have this big target when we go shooting, whether it's bow and arrow or rifles or whatever. We have this big target. What are you trying to hit on that target? Come on, Jody, what is it? The bullseye. We're trying to hit the bullseye. Now, the first time I can remember going to the shooting range with a friend, and I had never shot a 45 handgun in my life, and I thought, this is a piece of cake, because I was really good with a rifle. I didn't even hit the target. I mean, it was like, whoa, how did that happen? And he says, because you were not compensating for what was going to happen. Because as soon as you pull that trigger, and where'd the bullet go? Somewhere out there, but not even close to the target. But the more I practiced, the more I worked at it, the better I got. Finally, I even hit the target. You think I ever hit the bullseye? Never in that time, so I gave up the 45. But it was one of those things where you work at it. You work at it. Paul worked at it. Paul gives us an example. Work at it. No scripture. No history. Go back. Tell people the story of Jesus. And when he went to the synagogue, he uses the term several times in there that he reasoned with the people. Acts 18:3-4. Paul went to see them, and that was Aquila and Priscilla. And because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. There's a couple things in here. Aquila and Priscilla were tent makers. Would you have known that Paul was a tent maker other than that? Paul was a tent maker. That's kind of a cool, career. Make tents, people live in them. I mean, they need them. So it was pretty guaranteed of an income. But why did he go see Aquila and Priscilla? All the Jews got demoted and left Rome. I mean, they were thrown out. Why did he go see Aquila and Priscilla? Nobody tells us. But I can tell you right now, that's because the Holy Spirit said, Paul, you're going to go see Aquila and Priscilla. They served a purpose. He worked with them. He lived with them. That's where he got his sustenance while he was living there, from Aquila and Priscilla. God knew that. Paul reasoned in the synagogue. And when we reason about something, we don't argue, we don't condemn, we reason. Now, it's getting harder and harder to reason with people today. I don't know why that is, but it just the common sense is fleeting. And our ability to reason with people is just severely lacking. Now, we have something different than most people. We have the ability to speak words, as long as they're words that come from Scripture or Jesus, and people will hear what Jesus says. I wrote something right at the very beginning. We can talk to people all day long about Jesus, and get this, but what we say will not mean much if we speak their language. See, that's a little twist on what's normally said. You got to speak their language for them to understand it. In this case, you speak their language, they'll never understand it with the story that you've got to tell. So I added into that, the Holy Spirit is the translator when we speak to the unsaved. We need to know the story of Jesus and share it. God, Jesus, will do the convicting, the convincing, and the converting. It's not up to us. We need to tell the story. And that's what Paul does. And he does it so eloquently because he knows it. Not because he spent time with Jesus. He knew the story. He knew the old scriptures. He knows the story. So he reasoned with people in the synagogue. What is the best way to reason about a topic? You need to know what the issue is. You need to understand the potential differences that you're going to run into. And you need to learn the truth. Paul and the Jews both knew that at the crucifixion, the temple curtain was torn from the top to the bottom. That's historic. They all knew it. That couldn't happen by something man did. That curtain, I don't know if you're aware, but that curtain was very thick, multiple layers. And that curtain was big and tall. And it ripped when Jesus died on the cross from top to bottom. Normal ripping is from the bottom to the top. This happened from top to bottom. That was a miracle. They all knew that. This was well known by the Jews. Paul may have reasoned that this miracle was given to show that Jesus was now the only way necessary to gain God's acceptance and approval. Tearing of the tabernacle curtain is an example of Jesus voiding the need to follow the old Jewish practices of the law. Share the truth, not your personal opinion, just the truth. The story about Jesus. Don't argue and attack people. You want to really build a curtain between you and other people? Start to criticize them. Start to condemn them. Start to ridicule them. Don't do that. It's not what Paul did. He reasoned with them. He didn't get angry. There were times Paul got upset. But not often. He was able to reason with people because he just let Jesus tell the truth through him. Second Timothy 2:14 and 15. Most of us know the 2:15, study to show yourself approved. But you really should memorize 14. Because there's a purpose of why we should do that. And he says it well. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. Just what the Jews were doing. Quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. It just really disrupts the whole plan. Do your best to prevent yourself to God, to present yourself to God as one approved a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Isn't that excellent? The Christian community for years, go back to Europe, and they have argued about the stupidest, dumbest things that have nothing to do with the death of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection. And all it does is just drives people away. They look at that and say, I don't want any part of that. Look what happened in Rome. The emperor said, get out. Well, there goes their whole mission field in Rome. What a sad thing to have happen. That ought to teach us a lesson just in itself. Verses 5 and 6, when Silas and Timothy came to Paul from Macedonia, then Paul was able to devote himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent of it. From now on, I will take this message to the Gentiles. He made a point. You people are so hard-hearted and so stuck on the law. All your rituals and everything else, you're so stuck on it that my breath is being wasted talking to you. In fact, you abuse me in front of all the other Jews for telling you the truth that you have in your own scriptures. You abuse me. I'm leaving. I'm going to take this message not to the Jews any longer, but to the Gentiles. And that had to hurt. You know that had to hurt those Jewish people, because the Gentiles, why would you take that to the Gentiles? They're not worthy of anything, let alone our scriptures. So Paul really cut deep when he told them that. And he didn't do it angrily. He just said, I'm done with it. I'm shaking my clothes. He took his cloak off proudly and shook it and said, the message is wasted on you. I'm leaving. I don't want anything to do with you. Sometimes we have to reach that point, don't we? We just can't keep going after the same people over and over and over and over and over and having them keep rejecting what we're saying and then abuse us for it. Because who's the one that's telling them the message? Us? Once we've told them the message, that's the message that Jesus gives them. And once we've told them, it's not on our shoulders anymore. It's up to God. It's up to Jesus to use what we told them, what he spoke to them through us, and use that to convict them, to convince them, and to convert them. So we can walk away feeling, God, I did what you wanted me to do. I went into the world and I preached, I spoke, I taught the gospel, the story about Jesus. Now it's up to you. Now I'm going on. I'm moving on to more people, more places, more things. Even under opposition and abuse, Paul still reasoned with them. But he did get his point across. Remember, we are aiming at the target and telling the gospel. Does that mean the message will always hit the bullseye? No. But at least everyone that heard the gospel will have no excuse. We did as Jesus commanded. Go preach and teach the story about Jesus. The most important thing we have to do, other than praise God, is to teach and tell the story about Jesus. Verses 7 and 8, when Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titus Justus, a worshiper of God, Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. I said in here, yay, the effort is showing more positive results. Yes, it is worth it. It's not always going to be a failure. Is it ever? Do you consider it a failure when you talk to somebody and they reject the story of Jesus when you tell them? Do you consider that a failure? No. You should not consider that a failure. You've planted the seed. Some seed's going to grow, some seed's going to fall by the way. That's up to God. Remember that. We tell the story, Jesus does the work. Verses 9 and 11. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one is going to attack and harm you because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. Now, I didn't look at maybe you other guys that have talked. I think this is the longest period he spent in one of those cities on that journey. A year and a half he spent in Corinth. They must have been really bad people. No, it's one of those things where he was there a year and a half. That's a long time. So that message got out. Because where did he go? He went to the synagogue and told the story. He always went to the synagogue. John 16, Jesus will be with us every step of the way. John 16, 33, I use this a lot. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Trust Jesus. Acts 18, 12 through 17. While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews of Corinth made a united. Now, this is the Jews of Corinth, okay? These are the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him to the place of judgment. Court system, basically. This man, they charged, is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law. What was he teaching that was contrary to the law? Somebody tell me.
Jesus is the way to God.
No more law, it's Jesus. So he was taking the law, basically, stomping it out and saying, this is it, this isn't it. Here's Jesus, this is it. So that's what he was teaching that was contrary to their Jewish law. Needless to say, and I'll go back, they have it in their scriptures, and they were taught, and they know it, the story about Jesus, all the way from Abraham. And they're rejecting it. Satan's pretty powerful. Just as Paul was about to speak, I find that interesting. Just as Paul was about to speak, and I don't think he wanted to defend himself. I think he wanted to tell the story. But just about the time he was ready to speak, Gallio said to them, if you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. Since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle the matter yourselves. I will not be a judge of such things. So he drove them off. Then the crowd there turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue leader, and beat him in front of the proconsul. And Gallio showed no concern whatsoever. Now, a couple things that are important here. When we read, settle this matter among yourselves, I will not be judge of such things. So he drove them. Where did that just happen? In Rome. They're arguing and they're debating about the truth that they have in their own scripture is driving them out from the people that God wants them to reach. A travesty. That's a travesty. Because of their own complaining, arguing, fighting, they are driven away by another person. The problem here was a lack of trust in God's word, which they taught in their own synagogues. The Jews were to continue following the law. Out of frustration, the crowd turned on their own synagogue leader and beat him. This may be a case of the synagogue leader knowing the word, and then after hearing Paul's reasoning and truth about the story of Jesus, he was convinced to follow Jesus. All they accomplished by doing what they did, by beating him, was to prove that Gallio was right. He basically told them, "I told you so. Now, get out." 18 through 22, Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Yeah, a year and a half. Then he left the brothers and sisters and sailed to Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Centuria because of a vow that he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with those Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus, and when he landed at Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch, the next step of his journey. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off because of a vow that he had made. Remember the story of Samson? Did he have hair? Yeah, he had hair. But he had made a vow, hadn't he? What was the vow that Samson made? Anybody tell me?
Nazarite vow.
What was that?
Nazarite vow.
A Nazarite vow, just like we're thinking here. This was a Nazarite vow that they used that as a sign, as a symbol, that I am going to shave my head, I'm going to cut off my hair and not get it cut again until something happens. Whatever it be, that's their commitment. I'm not going to cut my hair again until God gives me a wife. Oh, man, you might have hair down to the ground. But, you know, those are the kinds of vows that the Nazarites made, and they used their hair. Now, was Paul, I'm going to ask you a trick question, was Paul a Nazarite? In this case, Paul, a Roman Jew, was showing an example of his concern for the Jews while also reflecting back on his reasoning about circumcision. It's not necessary to be circumcised to be a Christian, but Paul did say it best when he said in 1 Corinthians 9, 22 and 23, "To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." Paul's goal was to keep working to hit the bullseye. He wanted to do whatever he could to practice, to get better, to just get better and better and better at what he... And he reasoned in his... If I shave my head like a Nazarite, they'll listen. They'll see in me that I'm making a commitment that I don't need to make, because I'm the son of Jesus. I don't need to make that commitment, but I'll do it to appease you so that you know that I'm not condemning what you're doing. I'm not giving you causing you a problem. I just want you to see that I'm committed to telling you the truth. That helps people listen better, doesn't it? When we go to them on their terms. Now, there's times when you just can't do that. But go to them on their terms. have them over to your house for supper. Do, you know, and those little ways that you have that you can do, let God open it up and talk to them. But you know what? If you only talk to believers, how are you ever going to reach those other people? If you only have believers to your home for a meal, how are you ever going to reach the non-believers? If you only work at a place that has believers, how are you ever going to reach the people that work at the other places that are non-believers? You have to associate with non-believers. Paul did. He went to the synagogue regularly, and they didn't believe, but a lot of them did. A lot of them were convinced. Teach the good news, the gospel, the story of Jesus. God will help you hit the bullseye. But if you never try, you'll never hit the bullseye. In fact, you'll never even hit the target. It's up to us to practice, to learn the scriptures, to learn the story of Jesus. Is that a powerful story? You know what the most powerful part of that is? He loves us. He came to the earth. He died for us. For he paid our penalty for sin. Then we go home, right? No. He rose from the dead. That's the story of Jesus. Because that rising from the dead gives us hope. It pays our penalty for what we do in our life as sinners. But it cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And it gives us an opportunity to have a relationship with God through Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your word. We can tell the story all day long. But if we speak the language of the world, that just won't get across to them. We need to speak the language that comes from you, your word. Then you'll use it and you'll allow us to see the results. And maybe even we can see someone when we hit the bullseye. Thank you for your love. Give us a great day, and I pray it in Jesus' name.